If you would turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 22, I want just to cover one part of this today, but in covering this, I hope that we get the full scope of what we need to have what the psalm, the hymn writer expressed in the hymn we sang, that nothing moves this heart of mine but the grace of God by the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to read this together with you from Luke chapter 22, and I will read the first 48 verses of this chapter. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and covenanted to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent, Jesus sent, Peter and John, saying, Go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat. And they said to him, Where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said to them, Behold, when you are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And you shall say unto the goodman of the house, The master saith to thee, Where is the guest chamber? Where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples. And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready. And they went and found as he had said to them, and they made ready the Passover. You can see here that the Lord Jesus Christ knows the details of what's going on outside of his physical sight because he is God. Amazing. Verse 14, And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said to them, With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Don't let that verse escape your careful attention. With desire. The Lord Jesus Christ desired to have this supper with his disciples, with sinners. This was the reason for him coming into the world. Verse 16, For I say to you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. The Passover, that is, he was going to offer himself. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined. But woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. And there was also a strife among them which of them should be accounted the greatest. Sounds like us, huh? And he said to them, The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors, but you shall not be so. In other words, there's not going to be a hierarchy of people in your midst. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. That's the way you know. The chief is he serves. For whether is greater, he that sits at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth. You are they which have continued with me in my temptations. And I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father hath appointed unto me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. Think of Mephibosheth sitting at David's table eating. And here we are eating at the king's table in his kingdom. And you shall sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And he said to them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, nothing. Then said he to them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And this is what was written, and he was reckoned among the transgressors. For the things concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said to them, it is enough. Now, I want to focus especially on what is said in 1 Corinthians 11:23, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, that's when he took the bread and broke it and gave it to his disciples. That's when he took the cup and he also distributed that cup to all of them to drink, that they were to all drink of that same cup, each one of them, in the night he was betrayed. The Lord Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper the night that Judas betrayed him. Now, this was the last time that the Passover was to be observed, that Passover feast. From that night onward, the Lord's Supper is to be observed. As it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul said, I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered to you, to do this in remembrance of me. So as the twilight of night attended that meeting there that we just read about here, so the observance of the Passover has given way to the dawning light and the observance of the Lord's Supper. Think about the Passover. The Passover was what Israel offered. The Passover was something the Israelites did in Egypt under the tyrannical rule of an earthly tyrant and physical bondage. Now, think about the Lord Jesus Christ. Israel didn't offer him. He offered himself. He offered himself not to deliver us from an earthly tyrant, but from Satan and from sin. And he did so not by a lamb that Israel could offer, but by his own blood, the blood of the Lamb of God. The work is his. And this work is done. Therefore, what he did then, we remember now. Not what we offer, but what he offered. Not a lamb, but the Lamb of God. Not what we gave, but what he gave himself for us. And God sees his blood and his sufferings, as God said in Exodus chapter 12 and 13, he sees the blood and he passes over Israel. So God sees Christ and passes over his people. Not only passes over them, but justifies them for the sake of his blood. The Passover recalled to the mind of the Israelites how God delivered them, delivering their firstborn from Egypt by the blood of the lamb they were to sprinkle on their doorposts. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, it says, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. So clearly, the Lord Jesus Christ is our Passover. He accomplished the Passover spiritually when he sacrificed himself for us. Therefore, the Passover is fulfilled and it is no longer to be observed. I know some churches have dinners around the date of the Passover. I don't know why. I do not think that such traditions should be followed since the Lord put an end to them by fulfilling them and giving us the Lord's Supper. But they do. The Lord's Supper calls Christ to the precious remembrance of his believing people. He says, do this in remembrance of me. When he delivered all those God gave him from the judgment of God against them for their sins, and when he delivered them from the bondage of sin and Satan and death, he delivered them to live in the glorious liberty of the sons of God through his redeeming blood. Their sins are therefore no longer remembered against them. Then, when he did this on the cross, they were delivered from the justice of God that separated them from God. Galatians 3:13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Because the Lord Jesus Christ redeemed them then, therefore now the Spirit of his Son is sent into their hearts. Now we are to remember him. We do not sacrifice a lamb because Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. But we were redeemed and we were delivered from sin and from Satan by the broken body and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. On that night, the Lord Jesus suffered everything required by God to save us from our sins. That's something that we need to let sink deeply into our conscience. On that night, then, in history, the Lord Jesus Christ, by himself, suffered everything God required to save us from our sins. And he redeemed us from all that was justly due to us from God because of our sins. He redeemed us. He bought us. He paid the price God required, the ransom price of himself, to redeem us by his precious blood. It was the very night that Judas betrayed him when the Lord Jesus did this. The very night that Judas betrayed him, he was sacrificed for us. Now, three questions. I have three questions related to this. The Lord Jesus Christ certainly knew and knows the hearts of all men. We realize that. We know also from John chapter 13, verse 18, that Jesus did not choose Judas. It says, I know whom I have chosen. But the son of perdition, he didn't choose. We also know that he did not cleanse Judas from his sins by his sin-atoning death. Because in John 13 and verse 10, he says, you are clean, but not all. So not all of them were clean, not all of them were chosen, because he didn't cleanse Judas and didn't choose Judas. Now this raises three questions, at least three questions. First, why did the Lord Jesus Christ befriend Judas? Why did he? Second question I have is, why did God ordain that Judas should betray the Lord Jesus on the occasion of this intimate dinner that he held with his beloved disciples on the very night of the last Passover and the Lord's Supper? Why did God ordain this to be the case? And third, why did the betrayal of Judas cause the Lord Jesus so much sorrow and suffering? Now, those are the three questions. Why did he befriend Judas? Why did God ordain this on this very night? And why did his betrayal go so deeply, causing sorrow and suffering for the Lord Jesus? Now, I have nine different things that God says that helps answer these three questions. There are many reasons that God gives to answer them, and all of them reveal the greatness of our God and Savior. Get this now. The answers to these questions reveal the greatness of our God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Psalm 76:10, it says, surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. And this is exactly what happened on that night. And the remainder of wrath thou shalt restrain. Remember this, that the wrath of man shall praise thee. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. And this remainder of man's wrath God will restrain. So the first answer God gives here to these questions, why Jesus befriended Judas, why God ordained him to betray Jesus on this very night, and why his betrayal caused him so much suffering and sorrow, the first answer is that it was the will of God. This is the most fundamental reason of all, because it was the will of God. He says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 5, a body thou hast prepared me. And in verse 6, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. And then again in verse 7, I come to do thy will, O God. The body God gave him was to offer himself for our sins, and it was the will of God he came to do. Now, Christ did all that he did because it was the will of God. You have to know this. This is the most fundamental, foundational truth of Scripture, is that because it was the will of God, it was done. It was the will of God to save his people from their sins. It was the will of God that he would glorify himself in the sin-atoning death of his Son. Jesus says this in John chapter 12, "Now is my soul troubled, and what? Shall I say, Father, save me from this hour? But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." There you have it. He came to save his people. It was the will of God. He did it to save them, to glorify the name of his Father. He says also in John 17, 4, "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work thou gavest me to do." There you have it. Glorifying his Father, finishing that work. Now, Christ suffered betrayal from Judas because it was the will of God. That will of God by which he would offer himself to God for our sins to save us from our sins. Because it was the will of God, we know it was holy, because God only does what's holy. And because it was the will of God, we know God accomplished all he intended by it. And we also know that because it was the will of God, he determined to do it before the world ever began, before he created anything. It says in Luke 22:22, where we just read, "Truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed." So here we see that God gave Judas up to do what was in his heart under the influence of Satan because it was the will of God. God must hold us up or we will fall. Do you see that? Judas fell, he betrayed his master, and the Lord must hold us up. And so we pray, O Lord, according to your good will, hold us up, save us. That's the first reason. It was the will of God. Why did Judas betray the Lord this night? Why did Jesus befriend him? Why did it hurt him so? Because it was the will of God. The second reason is that Scripture foretold it. And this also is the most fundamental reason. Jesus said this in John 10:35. Scripture cannot be broken. Everything he did to fulfill Scripture. This is the second reason why Judas betrayed Jesus on this night, because Scripture foretold it. In at least three different Psalms, Scripture foretold Judas would betray Jesus. He says this in each of these Psalms. When we read these Psalms, and I'm going to read them here in a moment, we hear that this pain that Jesus felt because Judas betrayed him, we hear it in these Scriptures. The holy and harmless Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, felt what he felt when Judas betrayed him. Listen to what it says in Psalm 41 and verse 4 through 9. Psalm 41, listen. "I said, Lord," this is undoubtedly the words of Christ spoken in prophecy. You'll see it. He said, "I said, Lord, be merciful unto me." Notice how Jesus is praying for mercy. "Heal my soul," because he was accounted with our sins, he bore our sicknesses. "For I have sinned against thee." He owned our sins before God as his own sins. "Mine enemies speak evil of me." He goes on in Psalm 41, verse 5. He says, "When shall he die?" This is what his enemies say. "When shall he die and his name perish?" In verse 6, "And if he come to see me," he, meaning Judas, "he speaks vanity. His heart gathereth iniquity to itself. When he goeth abroad, he telleth it." He gathers all these evil thoughts, and when he goes abroad, he gathers together Christ's enemies against him. "All that hate me whisper together against me. Against me do they devise my hurt. An evil disease, say they, cleaveth fast to him. And now that he lieth, he shall rise up no more. Yea, my own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. Now that's quoted in the New Testament as the words of Christ spoken about Judas and his betrayal. And that was Psalm 41. In Psalm 55, in verse 12, it says this, another prophecy of Judas betraying Jesus. It says, these are the words of Jesus, again in prophecy. For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me, then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together, and we walked to the house of God in company. Now, this was historically spoken by David of Ahithophel, his chief counselor. It says in 2 Samuel 15:31, one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. But Ahithophel's betrayal of David is recorded in Psalm 55 as a prophecy of Judas's betrayal of Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. So as Ahithophel was David's counselor, and as Ahithophel turned in conspiracy against the king, King David, so Judas was with Christ for 3.5 years as his disciple, and he turned in conspiracy with his enemies against the king, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in Psalm 109, it says this. I'm just going to take some excerpts here from Psalm 109. In verse 5, it says, they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. And then in verse 16 of the same chapter, Psalm 109, verse 16, he remembered not to show mercy, but persecuted the poor and needy man, that he might even slay the broken in heart. Do you hear the words here? Judas did not remember to show mercy, but he devised to persecute the poor and needy man, which was the Lord Jesus Christ, that he might even slay the broken in heart. That's him. Judas persecuting Christ. And then also in Psalm 109, verse 21, the Lord Jesus prays this, but do thou for me, O God, the Lord, for thy name's sake, because thy mercy is good, deliver thou me, for I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. You can hear the pain that Judas's betrayal caused the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see here, according to Scripture, Judas betrayed Jesus. That's the second reason why. The answer to these questions is, first, it was the will of God. Secondly, Scripture foretold it, and Scripture cannot be broken. Now, the third reason that we see in the Psalms themselves, when we read these verses, the third reason that Judas did this was that because the Lord Jesus Christ became our Redeemer, our near kinsman, partaking of our flesh and being so near in relation to us that he would shed his precious blood to buy us out of the bondage and curse of the law that we put ourselves under by our sin. Because he so identified with us in becoming our Savior, he also became utterly dependent on God for mercy, for strength to do what God gave him to do, for success and for comfort. And all that he did in this as our Savior was that he might be the perfect author of eternal salvation. It says in Hebrews chapter 5, who in the days of his flesh, verse 7, Hebrews 5, 7, who in the days of his flesh, the Lord Jesus, when he was in his flesh on this earth, when he had offered up, notice, prayers and supplications, that's what the Psalms are, what we just read, with strong crying and tears, he's God. As the Son of God, but as man, taking our place, he felt all that we deserved, that we should feel. He says, with supplications and strong crying and tears, he was utterly dependent upon God for comfort and salvation. unto him that was able to save him from death, and he was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. A perfect Savior, a perfect champion, a perfect captain to deliver his people from their sins. He became perfect through sufferings. He had to suffer in order to deliver us, and he became a perfect deliverer, a perfect redeemer, because he suffered these things. And under that suffering, because he undertook for us, stood before God in our place, therefore he became utterly dependent upon God. He put himself in the hand and at the mercy of God. And he prayed as one who was utterly dependent on God to save him from death, and confessed our sins as his own, asking God for mercy, asking him for deliverance from his enemies, asking him for comfort. That's the third reason. And fourth, here's the fourth reason that Jesus suffered the betrayal of Judas, why he suffered it this night, and why it was God's will, and why it affected him so much. The fourth reason is in two words now, for you. For you. Remember, it was Christ for you, believing sinner. Not only was the entire account of Jesus' life and sufferings to do the will of God in fulfillment of scriptures which cannot be broken, and as man standing in our place, suffering what he did and being utterly dependent upon God, but the reason the Lord Jesus Christ himself gave in Luke 22 on that night is the most precious reason of all to every believing sinner. It was for you. He substituted himself in the place of his people for his people. He said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." That's his answer to this question. There's no more endearing answer to why Christ suffered, no more endearing answer to a needy sinner than this. He suffered and died, and rose and now reigns and makes intercession to save me and to have me for himself and to present me to himself without spot and wrinkle or any such thing to be with him. There's no other way by which we may know the love of God than this. He did it for you. It says in Hebrews chapter 9, by his own blood he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. There it is. For us, the Son of God loved me and gave himself for you who believe him. Galatians 2:20. He laid down his life for you. John 10, verse 11. For the sheep. It was all for you who believe him. By his grace. All for you. He says that we receive his words now. We take the words of the Lord Jesus Christ when he says, "This is my body which is broken for you." When we believe him, we take his words and we eat this bread and we drink this cup because he himself made our way to God. He is our way. He made in himself our way to come to the Father in order that we might receive the abundant blessings of God, of grace and everlasting life and all glory by his sufferings, by the purchase of his blood, which was done in love. It was all for you who believe. We are not saved because we believe, but we believe by grace because Christ died and died to save us by the will of God. Faith is that gift of grace and the evidence of life by that grace because Christ died and shed his blood. Faith is the evidence of life, and life the evidence of righteousness, and righteousness the work of Christ in shedding his blood for us. Therefore, our faith is not the cause of our salvation, but salvation is the result. Faith is the result of our salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ. You were chosen to eternal life, Acts 13:48. You have been given grace to believe, Ephesians 2:8-9. And Christ shed his blood and fulfilled God's law and rose from the dead and washed us from our sins and is now exalted to heaven's throne to give us his Spirit that we might believe him and know him and love him and live in him and live by him and live upon him unto eternal life. It is all by faith in his blood. For you, O my soul, here is the word of him who cannot lie, and here is the warrant from Christ to me, the sinner, my comfort and confidence and peace and joy, and my hope through the faith is by him, that faith is by him, that he was broken for me, for you. Those are the two words. That's the fourth reason that Jesus suffered. That's the fourth reason that Jesus was betrayed this night. It was for you. The fifth reason here that we see an answer from God to these questions about why Judas betrayed Jesus this night and why it was God's will and why he suffered for it so much is that the Lord Jesus Christ was in himself the very opposite of what we are by nature. We are sinful. He is holy. We devised evil. He is harmless. And it says the answer here given from Scripture is that Christ, unlike us, was faithful to his friends. Though his trusted friend was unfaithful to him, and though the betrayal of his trusted friend broke his heart, the Lord Jesus Christ was faithful to his friends. Think about that. Though we were and we are unfaithful to our Savior, he is ever faithful to us. He's faithful. He's faithful to his friends. Having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them to the end. That's faithfulness. That's from John 13:1. Jesus said, "Greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends." He was faithful to his friends in love. In Romans chapter 5, when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's a faithful friend. And God commendeth his love. He made it known towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's faithfulness. If when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. That's a faithful God. And that's a faithful Savior. Even when we were dead in sins, God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you are saved, and he made us sit together in heavenly places in him. Thus we see that in our Savior, the very opposite of all we are by nature, and the fullness of all we need for life and glory is in him. He was faithful to his friends. He laid down his life for them. He never denied, he never betrayed his friends. The very opposite of what we see in Judas, what we are by nature. We see his faithfulness to us when we ourselves were unfaithful. And I must ever remember that it was for my sins that he hung upon that cross. It was for me that he prayed, "Father, forgive them." It was for me he rose. For me. A sinner, that the Lord Jesus Christ reigns to turn me from my sins and to bring me to himself, to save me to the uttermost. It was because he was faithful and is faithful. And then the sixth reason why the Lord Jesus Christ here in this account was betrayed on this night is that though Judas and Satan, who influenced him, meant it for evil, God meant it for good. Remember, it was God's will. Therefore, it had to be good. It had to be holy. Though the sin of Judas and the sin of all of Christ's enemies, and though my own sin is great, yet God, by his almighty and prevailing grace, has turned Christ's betrayal and all of his sufferings for our good. He delivered us from the enemies of our souls because our Savior interposed himself to bear away our sins under the judgment of God. And it was a loving self-sacrifice that he made to God of himself for sinners in submission. in submission of obedience to the will of God, that he might save us from our sins and from the consequences of our sins. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. Do you see that? He did it for evil. God meant it for good, and God overruled the evil intent of this man and Satan himself for our salvation. It says in the hymn, Satan's design was Satan's defeat. That's a quote from a hymn by John Kent. Satan's design was Satan's defeat. He meant it for evil. God meant it for good. God destroyed him in that death of our Savior. And that is the power of God, isn't it? That's the sovereign power of our God. That even though men, we all do whatever we want to do, and we do evil according to our nature, God turns it for the good of his people, and he intends it for our good, so that he can say this in Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, for those who are the called according to his purpose. That's a God we can trust, a God we can cast every care upon. Now, the seventh reason the Lord Jesus Christ suffered betrayal by Judas on this night, and it bothered him too, is that the Lord Jesus Christ suffered betrayal by a friend because he suffered for my betrayal of God. Christ suffered what his people deserved. He suffered betrayal as an unfaithful friend because I was unfaithful to God and deserved to be betrayed. He suffered what I deserve for my offense against God. I was unfaithful to my God. I betrayed my God. And he suffered injustice at the hands of men because I deserve God to use men to treat me with the same injustice that I served God. As it says in Psalm 109 and verse 16, listen to these words here. In Psalm 109, verse 16, because that he remembered not to show mercy, but persecuted the poor and needy man, that he might even slay the broken in heart. As he loved cursing, so let it come to him. As he delighted not in blessing, so let it be far from him. Judas did not remember to show mercy. He persecuted the Lord Jesus Christ, the poor and needy man, in order that he might slay the one who was broken in heart. And he loved cursing, and so the Lord Jesus intercedes against him and says, let that cursing come to him. He delighted not in blessing, so let blessing be far from him. Now, think of this. The Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed. He did come under the curse. The blessing then at that time when he suffered for our sins was removed far from him. And he pleaded, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why? Because he was in our place, standing in our place, receiving from God what we deserved. We deserved the injustice of cruel, merciless men. And he received it because that's what we deserved. He suffered injustice at the hands of men because I deserved God to use men to treat me so. He was shown no mercy by Judas and his own people because I deserve no mercy. But here is Christ's mercy, and here is the mercy of God. My betrayal of God by my sin against him, my merciless cruelty, and all of the punishment I deserve because of my betrayal will not come on me because my substitute was betrayed for what I deserved. There you have it. He suffered betrayal because he stood in my place. He bore both my sin and my punishment. He bore it in his own soul. God made his soul an offering for sin, and he bore it in his own body on the tree. He bore our sicknesses. He suffered the stroke from God's own hand for the sins of his people. Now, I tremble to say this, but it is the truth of Scripture. Christ was chastised with beatings from God because he stood before God as my substitute and received from God for me, for my proud and self-serving and merciless and stubborn rebellion in unfaithfulness to God. My substitute. My substitute. God imputed my sins to him, and he received the condemnation for my sins that I deserved. And we could read scripture after scripture to support this. But I leave it with you to consider all the places where you can think where the word for, F-O-R, is used in scripture. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He died the just for the unjust that he might bring us to God. Christ died for our sins. This is the message of the gospel. It was a substitution. He stood in our place instead of us before God and received from God what we deserved, a substitute. Now, the eighth reason the Lord Jesus Christ suffered betrayal at the hand of Judas was because our Savior considered no personal cost too high to have his elect people. He gave all because he gave himself. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich. He did all of this because he considered no personal cost too high to have his elect people, those given to him, chosen by his Father and given to him, those he also chose, those given to him to save. No cost too high. He gave himself, therefore he gave his back to the smiters. He gave his face to those that pluck off the hair. He gave himself to shame and spitting. And he gave himself to be betrayed by this friend. And the ninth and the last reason that I want to point out here is that in his betrayal, we see the tender heart of our Savior. The betrayal of a friend wounded him the most. Christ's friendship of Judas was a true friendship. He was no liar. He wasn't pretending to be his friend. He was no hypocrite. Therefore, when Judas betrayed him, it cut him deeply. It is sweet, very sweet, to see the measure of our Savior's love and faithfulness. He willingly endured great suffering for us who ruined ourselves by our sin. He endured all to save us from our sins and to have us and to present us to himself without sin. And what was the most painful thing to his soul? Was it the hateful and unjust accusations and tormenting of his enemies? Or was it the betrayal of his trusted friend? It was the betrayal of his friend. Listen to these words in Psalm 55. I read them before. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man, mine equal, my guide, mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together. We walked into the house of God in company. Therefore, because the Lord Jesus Christ endured this pain that we deserved when he stood before God in our place and for our sins, shall he be deprived of those for whom he gave himself? Shall he? Shall he be deprived of his joy or his reward? Shall not God, who gave all of his people to him to save, give all of them to him and give him all things with them? Shall not he have those that he suffered and died to save? He endured all this pain of soul and body. Shall anything of all that he asks his Father be denied him? Will any request he has for his people be denied his request? Will God pour out such blessings on him with his people that neither eye nor ear has seen, nor ear heard, or entered into the heart of man? Can God withhold anything from his people at the request of the Lord Jesus Christ because the Lord Jesus Christ gave himself to such sufferings? No. No. Can any enemy of our souls keep us from or separate us from him who loved us and gave himself for us? Note carefully, we did the sinning, but he did the saving. Therefore, remember him. Remember him. Remember these things. See the greatness of Christ our Savior in the wicked betrayal of Judas. See how great God shall make even the wrath of man to forever praise his grace. And let this sight of his unchanging and faithful love and his unfailing power endear him to us. May we never presume that we are in any less need of saving grace than wicked Judas. May we ascribe our salvation not to the smallness of our sins, because we see Judas's sin was so great, nor to the merit of our prayers or tears or zeal or our works, but to the greatness of our Savior and his loving and sovereign purpose of grace. May we see something of the exceeding grace of God and the exceeding sinfulness of our sins and his holiness, that he required such suffering and death of Christ, our Lord, that he might save us. And may we be given to join the chorus of the redeemed around the throne of God to thank and praise our Savior and worship our God and Father now and forevermore. When they said this in Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes. That's the only way they could be standing there. And palms in their hands. That's the posture of worship and praise. And crying with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. It was all his doing. And all the angels stood around the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and they fell before the throne on their faces, and they worshiped God, saying, notice, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. It was the will of God. It was because Scripture foretold it. It was because Christ stood in our place and stood in need of mercy and help and comfort and salvation, and it was for you. He was faithful to his friends, the opposite of what we are. God meant it for good to save much people alive so that the wrath of man praises him. And he suffered the treatment that we deserved for our rebellion and our betrayal. He considered no personal cost too high, and his pure and true heart was wounded deeply because Judas betrayed him, because that's the betrayal that we deserved at the hand of God. What a Savior. And that's why he says, this is my body, which is broken for you. And this blood is shed for you. Shed for you. Broken for you. That's the message of the Lord's Supper. Remember him. The Passover, those Israelites offered. They offered that lamb. They did something in order for God to look upon that blood and receive them. Here the Lord Jesus Christ offered himself. It was done once. He accomplished the work. It's now done and finished. And therefore we stand. All we can do is look to him and remember him. What a blessing it is that when we gather together, when we are individually who believe Christ, when we're individually walking about in the circumstances of our life and all the thoughts of our heart, all these things come back to us. It's what Christ has done. It's what he did to save me from my sins. That's what matters. That's what my life is all about, to know him, to remember him. And so when we gather together like this, the Lord Jesus himself says, this do in remembrance of me. And it all stands in the brightest contrast when we consider what Judas did to our Savior, how it was the will of God. He did it because it was what we deserved. The Lord Jesus Christ had to suffer, and he suffered most because of that. And so we see what it cost that the Lord Jesus would have to suffer everything in order to bring us to God. What a Savior.